views and opinions expressed by callers, guests, and hosts do not necessarily reflect those of the Black Talk Radio Network and Black Talk Media Project. Black Talk Radio is new black media for the new millennium.
Would have had serious consequences for the world financial system, but may also have empowered the people of Africa, something black activists say the US wants to avoid at all costs.
We're slicing cake. We're slicing cake. We're slicing cake.
Say the US wants to avoid at all costs.
We're slicing cake.
Say the US wants to avoid at all costs.
We're slicing
cake. Gaddafi didn't give up. In the months leading up to the military intervention, he called on African and Muslim nations to join together to create this new currency that would rival the dollar and euro. They would sell oil and other resources around the world only for gold dinars. It's an idea that would shift the economic balance of the world. Countries' wealth would depend on how much gold they have, not how many dollars they trade. And Libya has 144 tons of gold.
Welcome, welcome, everyone, to Tando Radio Show, brought to you by Black Talk Radio Network. I'm your host, Dave, from L.A., coming to you live from FEMA Region Number 6. Today is September the 18th. It's a Tuesday, 2018. Have a live show for you today. Got my man, Pastor Keith, in the studio. What up, Keith? He says, hey, y'all, what's up? So we're going to have a live show for you today. Looking forward to that. And at any time, if you'd like to get in on the conversation, give us a call, 704-802-5056, 704-802-5056. We'll see you in the chat room, and we'll definitely bring you up. We'll see you on a board, and we'll definitely be able to bring you up. And looking forward to a live show with you all today. Let me get situated here. We're good to go. And so, everyone, please continue to support Black Talk Radio Network. Go to the website for this network and make a donation. You can make that donation at www.blacktalkradionetwork.com, and that donation keeps this network on air. You can also support the network by being a member in its social media platform for only $24 a year. You can go to www.btrcommunity, and you can engage in a social media platform with a membership where you can actually promote yourself, your business, and things that you think that should have more of a public awareness, or things that you think should be brought to light to the general public that you would otherwise do on other social media platforms that are not in your best interest. You could do that at BTR Community in a more holistic way and support this network. So please definitely do that. Also, if you like to convert your cash into real money, the slave's wage into a savings of money, you could do that by going to Prosperity Mint. Prosperity Mint's full-service precious metals company. Check out the website. Check out what they have in inventory. And then just email info at Prosperity Mint and say, hey, I'm a Tando Radio Show listener. Would like to acquire some precious metals. And they will get in contact with you. And it's for your benefit. It's not going to be used for a sale or anything else. So they're going to make sure that you know the buying process. Okay? So definitely do that. We're looking to that for today's show. So we're going to do that. We're going to jump into today's show. And, we're definitely going to carry that on today's show. So a lot of stuff that's happening in the world that we need to be talking about in the geopolitical realm, in space that we need to prepare for and have a heads up in. A head start on some of the things. So today is Tuesday, the 18th of September, and we're going to look at part two from yesterday's show. Part two is on the brink of all-out war. Putting yourself and family first is the reason why we prepare. So this is going to be part two. So we're going to jump into what's in the news. But before we do that, I have to make this announcement. Anyone that got into Coins of Change with me, make sure you go into your Coins of Change system wallet and withdraw everything from there and send it to your personal wallet. We actually did a YouTube video about that when we first started with Coins of Change, and I said never ever keep anything in your Coins of Change wallet, because that would expose it. That would expose Coins of Change to hackers, because you don't want to have that platform having a bunch of cryptocurrency there, and to make sure you only leave in there what you were was going to be for your next upgrade. So go into Coins of Change and take everything out. And here's the reason why. Since Bitcoin is going down, the overall Coins of Change platform hasn't been able to get traction because it's gone down. So just in the concerning interest of you all, make sure that your system wallet inside of Coins of Change has a zero balance. Send it to your personal wallet. And if you have any questions about that, you can email me at wolf6pack1@gmail.com, wolf6pack1@gmail.com. So anyone that went into Coins of Change, doesn't matter if you came through me or anyone else, withdraw your system wallet's account down to zero, send it to your personal wallet. That's something that you should have did from the very inception when you got into it as well. That's what we had advised you to do, and here's some of the reasons why. So now Coins of Change is going to have a hard time getting any kind of momentum, especially when the cryptocurrency of Bitcoin has gone down so much. It went from 20,000 down below 10,000 into went down like to 3,000 and made its way back up to 6. So it's not getting any traction right now. But I remember when Bitcoin was only $5, and when it went up from where it was, it went up to $200, and it came back real hard like it just did now. And everyone that was riding it up to 200 was loving it. And then when it came down, everybody was like, hey, what's going on? Well, it went up to 20. So this is just the process of trading and how that stuff works. You got to know that. And so that's just where we are. Where will it be in the future? Who knows? Who absolutely knows? So, but if you are, and because of that, Coins of Change was based off of Bitcoin's performance. And if Bitcoin, what happened to my screen? And if Bitcoin couldn't perform, sorry, my whole screen went out. If Bitcoin couldn't perform, then the platform was relying on Bitcoin to perform. It can't push Bitcoin up. So with that being said, just go and take everything out of your system wallet and send it to your personal wallet, which you already should have been doing and where you should have been at all times anyhow, okay? So if you have any questions about that, you can even call into the show and ask me about it, and also email me at wolf6pack1@gmail.com if you have any questions about it at all, okay? All right, so we're going to get into today's show. We're going to hit what's in the news. And as I said before, on today's show is part two, on the brink of all-out war, putting yourself and family first is the reason why you prepare. This is why you prepare. This is why you want to know things that are happening so that you can put yourself and your family in a position of advantage that you don't have to worry about actually worry about the outcome of certain things, and you can be in a more, like I said, a position of advantage. Very, very important. Hold on 1 second, everyone. Sorry about that. Trying to just fix something really quickly. So this is why you should prepare, especially for what's going on in, you know, around. It's, you know, sometimes I think that we look at things from the way our experience in life is, which is, you know, really, really important, because that's just our makeup. And for me, I like to look at things from the experience of my life as well. And especially when certain things happen, if you can avoid certain things happening to you Or if you are aware of certain things that could possibly happen, that are especially things that are a real immediate threat to you, or can be a real immediate benefit to you, you know, it's I think it's very beneficial to do the work. You know, doing the work really preparing is not easy. It's expensive. It's you know, it's time consuming, but it's worth it in my opinion, because that expense is really not an expense, because when you prepare, you're really a saver. And you know, there's a lot of pushback in the prepping world, because a lot of people don't, in my opinion, I don't think that they have a full understanding what preparing is. Preparing is nothing more than saving. And see, saving in a consumer-based economic system that breeds a consumer-based mentality, that's not what a consumer-based individual wants to ever hear. That's totally opposite of who they really are. It's because the system actually indoctrinates and schools us and tries to domesticate us to be consumers. Everything you get consumed by this, by that, buy consumer goods, and that becomes popular. Buy consumer goods of sport, buy consumer goods of entertainment, buy consumer goods. They have all of these things, and now because of that consumerism, it's moving to a space that most people think that consumerism is not a want anymore. It's actually a necessity need, and that's far from the truth. It's far from the truth. And what's so really good about preparing is that it makes you a prodigious saver. It says, no, I'm not going to put that there. I'm going to put that in something that is an asset. I'm going to actually save. I'm not going to save currency. I'm going to save money. Why? Because that money is something that is going to benefit me throughout my life, and I can leave it as an inheritance. But in today's world, what are we leaving as an inheritance to our heirs? We're leaving debt upon debt upon more debt. And so because of that, we are actually operating outside of the spirit of the law when it comes to that. See, saving is a part of a mandate in the spirit of the law. The letter of the law tells you to consume and pay taxes. That's the letter of the law. And because of that, it actually cross-pollinates and it moves itself into so many different realms, and we may not see it as apparent because we're bombarded. First thing that we have to do, like anyone, like to any addiction that you have to first recognize that it is an addiction, because if you don't recognize it as an addiction, you will recognize it as a necessity. And that's why we become addicted to things. And savings falls in line with the spirit of the law, and it's actual in the ecosystem. Consuming consumer goods is adverse to the spirit of the law, but it is primary under the letter of the law, and there's a big difference between the two. So, I know it's not popular, but that just because it's not popular, just because a lot of people aren't there, doesn't mean that it's not necessary. It's probably more closer to the truth. That's why most people aren't there. It's the road that's seldom traveled. It's the road that is difficult and unpaved. Because a paved road means that man has manipulated the overall ground, the overall topography, the overall landscape for their benefit. That's what a paved road is. So Keith wants to jump in real quick before we get into today's show. So let me get Keith jumped in. I'm going to mute myself and then bring Keith up. And he wanted to chime in.
You know, Dave, what's really interesting about what you say is, I don't care if you're talking about Christianity and the Bible, and I don't care if you're talking about the exceptional or the top 1%. all of those really follow a criteria of looking at what everybody else is doing and going in the opposite direction. You know, because we know that utopia, as far as Christianity goes, he says what? The road of destruction is wide. Path of righteousness is narrow. Few people are going to be on that road. Well, if you look at finances in this country, this world, et cetera, it's the same thing. What are we always talking about? We're talking about the 1%. Who are they? They're the ones that follow the beat of their own drum or had a knowledge that the masses did not have, and they went in the direction contrary to where the masses were. And that applies in most things. If you do your research, if you do your study, it's not the most popular things that's going to get you where you want to go.
So true, Keith. And it's like you said, you can apply that principle to so many things. You can apply that principle even in, think of from in our community, you know? Of course, when we were growing up, it may not have been for Pastor Keith, because Pastor Keith grew up during Prohibition. But I grew up in the 80s when the crack cocaine conspiracy was actually thrown into our community. And it devastated our community, and a lot of people that I know got trapped up in it, but there was a very few that decided that I'm not going that route. In spite of all of the influences that were there, there was a very few that said, no, I'm not doing that, and they went in a different direction. Well, their direction, 9 times out of 10, was more prosperous and more beneficial than those that went with the overall mass herding in a direction. And yes, it was all manipulated and everything else, but there are choices that we make. And see, regardless of what the temptation that is put before us, it's the choice to accept the temptation is the deciding factor on the direction of the outcome. But there are situations where things happen that are uncontrollable to you, uncontrollable situations. But the most important thing about an uncontrollable situation is your reaction to it. It's more important. You can't control if all of a sudden war breaks out or someone takes a cyber attack and takes out the bank. You didn't decide to do that, but as you having a bank account, you would be adversely affected. Now, Keith, what's the most important thing with that? How are you going to respond to it, Mr. Keith? You didn't do the hacking. You were actually adversely impacted by the hacking. But the most important thing is now you're faced with something that you now have to invoke your energy to, and how you invoke that energy is the most important thing. Your response to everything dictates if you're sovereign or if you're not sovereign, if you're self-determining or not self-determining, if you're complicit or you withdraw, you follow or you set a path. Because I don't like the word to use the word lead, because the word leadership and a leader is the worst thing for any people to have. Because you have to look at what the root word of what a word lead means. It means to control. It means to put a leash on you and to take you in a direction. That's the subjugation of your surrenders of your will to someone else. They got two lives, you have none. We've already have everything that we've ever need to get where we were getting. We can't squander what the great Creator has given us. But if we don't use it, we lose it. You know, and it's to me, that's very, very important, you know, because sometimes we could engage with many people. You know, it's you know, when you engage with many people, there comes a responsibility. You know, you don't play video games. you get out and you do the things that you're supposed to do. I'm saying that because Pastor Keith is playing a video game, y'all. I'm just playing. So, but with that being said, I want to get into today's show. Very, very important. I want to get into what's in the news. But at any time you'd like to get in on the conversation, give us a call, 704-802-5056. Okay, here we go. First article I got from RT News. And that's Russia Today. You are to blame for the downing of IL-20 and its death crew, Russia tells Israel. So last night, Israel attacked Syria again. And in the overall exchange, there was a French frigate that actually fired a missile, and there were Israeli F-16s that were engaging in a missile attack and sortie attack. They were basically their Air Force was having bombing runs in Syria, and so Syria was starting to engage the overall missiles and the F-16s, and in the interim there was a Russian surveillance plane, a IL-20, that has a crew of 14 in the pilot that was actually shot down. And this happened last night, and so we'll see how this unfolds, and we're going to talk about some of this. So we got a couple of stories from that as well. So next article is from RT International. Russia reserves the right to respond after saying Israel's action led to the downing of IL-20 by Syria. And now they're saying that what happened is that Syria actually may have been able to shoot down that actual Russian system. So it must have been a Syrian system, anti-missile system, that actually shot that down, because it wouldn't have been – I don't think it's possible for the S-400 system or the S-300 or S-200 system, that's Russian anti-aircraft missiles, for them to shoot down a Russian plane, because that system is probably already built in to identify the Russian planes and not shoot those down. It's not going to shoot those down. Friendly fire doesn't happen that way in that type of situation. But what could have been is that it could have been anti-aircraft system that wasn't Russian made, that just didn't identify that one and it shot it down. But it still has to see, here's the key. If Israel didn't intrude in attacking, which is an act of war, if Israel wasn't carrying out acts of war on Syria, the Russian plane would have never been shot down. So check out that article. Next article from RT, Russian IL-20 down by Syrian missiles after Israeli F-16s used it as cover during an attack. So what may be coming out is that there may have been a Israeli F-16 that flew close to the slower Russian IL-20, knowing that they wouldn't shoot near at the Russian IL-20, and by getting close to it, they figured that they wouldn't get shot down. Well, there was engagement, and they missed the F-16, and it hit the IL-20 and shot the Russian plane down, and the whole crew was lost. So check out that article. Next article also put in from same article from Cerebrally Naive Network, for those of you that need to get your information from Cerebrally Naive Network, a.k.a. CNN, one of Pastor's favorite one of Keith's favorite platforms for news. That and Fox, Lying Like a Fox News. That's his favorite platform. So little joke. Just playing. Next article, this comes from Taz. Russia and Turkey agree to establish demilitarized zone in Syria, Idlib Province. Check out that article, significant. Next article from Mrs. Institution. 10 years after Lehman, the solution was more Lehman. We will definitely cover this on Financial Friday. Check out that article. Next article from Wall Street Journal. This is another article that goes with the one that we were talking about. Russia blames Israel for military plane shoot down over Syria. Next article, this is from Russia International as well. Aliens of solar flare question remains as the Sunspot Observatory partially reopens after Friday's FBI closure. And I definitely think that whatever, why they shut that, the observatories, those six observatories around the world down, is they didn't want something to come out. And it could have been a major, and this is something that I thought it definitely could have been. It could have been the overall, a sunspot that was about to have a major, major solar flare that would actually have a Clarington event on the Earth. The Clarington event was an event in the past, in the 1800s, that knocked out all of the newly put up power lines from the radio transmitters and things, the old technology. It blew them out, blew everything out. Well, if that actual same solar flare hit the Earth now, it would have the exact same thing, but it's different. Back then, what it had was that it had all of the the early stages of communication. All of the circuit boards started to catch fire everywhere when that happened, and all the circuit boards and everything else were blown out. Well, since the 1800s, the technology has not been moved to where it can mitigate the overall effect of a solar flare. So now if that same solar flare hit here, it would be like an EMP and knock all of the power out, and they wouldn't be able to restore the power. Sun is no joke. So something is not good with that one. So, and I just, that was really what I thought the possibility would have been, that they didn't want that information to get out, that a major CME or sunspot was forming and it was moving and it was about to emit a solar flare that was going to be huge. And if it did, by you knowing, you would only have about, depending on how big and the speed and everything else, about 96 hours before that overall solar flare hits. And right now, the Earth's magnetosphere is one of its lowest points. So this would make, to me, that would be one of the reasons why they would get in there right away, because they don't ever want you to be prepared. They never want you to be prepared. So check that out. Next article from RT International, Critical One. China says it will levy retaliatory tariffs on September the 21st, simultaneously with Washington. Check out that article, very important one. Next article, this is a huge one. We're probably going to do a show just on this, and we'll do it on Thursday. And this is from Strategic Culture. U.S. Energy Secretary visits Moscow, threatens and threats and accusations used as foreign policy tools. Check out that. The United States celebrity figurehead Secretary of Energy Rick Perry visited Moscow on September the 11th through the 13th to hold talks with Russia's deputy celebrity figurehead Prime Minister and Minister of Finance and Energy Ministers. After discussing a wide range of problems, the parties agreed to restart the dormant U.S.-Russian Energy Working Group to address issues of common interest and disagreement. And here's what I'm going to say. We're going to do a whole show on this. This is the war right here. This meeting is the war right here. And so you'll see what I mean by that. Next article, just got this from Russia Insider as well, showed how the Russian down plane was hit by Syrian missiles after the F-16s used it as cover during an attack. So it shows you how that could have been. So check out that. Next article got from Reuters. U.S. energy chief to meet Russian Saudi counterpart ahead of Iran. This all goes together with that. Need to read that. And this article goes along with this as well. From Russia Insider, Trump's energy secretary is in Moscow Trump's celebrity figurehead, Trump's energy secretary, is in Moscow to beg Russia to keep oil flowing after Iranian sanctions hit. So it all goes together. Next article from Strategic Culture. Britain joins the U.S. in an unwise confrontation in the South Sea of China. Very important. Next article, another good one from Reuters. Who broke the law? Cohen said in defending Wall Street's role and the 2007-2008 financial crisis with Lehman Brothers. That'll be a part of the Financial Friday the major thing. Next article. Here is a critical article from yesterday. This comes from Press TV. South Korea's president in Pyongyang for key summit with Kim Jong-un. So the South Korean president and the celebrity figurehead president of North Korea met. And if you look at the overall meeting, and I'm going to, I don't know if we could put, but you definitely want to look at this and watch the overall reception that the South Korean president is giving in North Korea. And notice something. There's the North Korean flag, and then there's the blue and white flag that shows the reunification of Korea. It just shows, doesn't show North or South Korea. It shows Korea. And the same flag that was used and the flag that bared the unified team in the Olympics, all of the signals are there. The reunification of the Koreas is real. And why? Because the only thing that's keeping there a such thing as North and South Korea is the overall U.S. military. In the overall geopolitical position of the U.S. and the economic position of the U.S., that is no longer able to hold water. And huge. Next article, this one is from the Seeker. The Great Gas Game. Vestes presents a new documentary film about the pipeline and power. It's in Russian, but it'd be worth you all to check out this video because it's going to be talking about the Nord Stream 2, which is the real reason for the war. That's why the U.S. will actually go to war against the world and will lose. It's because of this actual, the Nord Stream 2 gas pipeline is going to be the trigger for war, and we're going to cover that on Thursday. Next article comes from Bloomberg, Alibaba's Jack Ma warns U.S.-China trade war could last 20 years. The last 20 years. I think it's going to last 3 years, and the trade war is going to be one of the death knells of the U.S. dollar and the United States economic standing throughout the world. It won't last 20 years, in my opinion. But, hey, that's what... Jack says, check out that article. Yes, Keith wanted to.
Why do you get 3 years? Why such a short period? Why such a long period, actually?
Yeah. Keith's question was, well, Dave, why just 3 years? Why am I saying three years and not the 20 years like Ma? Well, because in a short, because the U.S. is going to lose the war and it won't even have any trade. It will not be a conduit of global trade anymore. It will be traded on the market. It won't be setting the market trading trends. The U.S. will be traded. So that's why I keep why I say that. I don't think that it's going to last. The trade war with China for 20 years is optimistic. The U.S. will not be in this position that it's in or what we've known it to be in the past 20 years from now. Don't think it'll be that in 5 years from now. So that's just my opinion. Doesn't make it right, just my opinion. But that's why I say that. It's no way with the way things is going, done deal, it's over. So, and we're going to talk about that actually. And I guess we'll come back to this one. Remind me, Keith, to come back to this story. Next article, got from Reuters. North Korea Kim says summit with the U.S. brought stability. North Korea leader Kim Jong-un on Tuesday said at his summit with celebrity President Donald Trump in June provided the geopolitical stability that he expected, the geopolitical stability, and that he expected more progress. Did you read the – let me do this, though, because I messed that up. Kim Jong-un, the celebrity figurehead leader of North Korea, says the summit with the U.S. brought stability – and sees more progress. Kim Jong-un said on Tuesday, today, his summit with celebrity figurehead President Trump in June provided geopolitical stability and that he expected more progress. Okay, reading between the lines. What is he talking about? He's talking about the reunification of the Korean Peninsula. He's talking about the demise of the U.S. And he's talking about a world without the U.S. Because the more progress that he sees is that the progress that he sees is that the U.S. military and all of its nuclear armaments and all of its troops will be out of the Koreas. And that the two countries will align themselves as one country, and there will be not only economic benefit, but it'll be geopolitical positioning, that they will now be a key institutional decision maker in all economic policies around the world, because now they have the resources of the North with the ingenuity of the South that comes together. It becomes a superpower overnight. They have nukes. They have partnerships with Russia and China, a part of the BRIC nations. They too, Korea will actually be one of the nations in the BRIC nations. They'll bring the K to the BRIC nations as Korea, now North and South region. And that's what that's saying in between the lines there. And it's not what people here would think, because what did this do? He and the South Korean realized that they have a mutual. But they not only do they have cultural similarities, but they have bloodline similarities. They have geopolitical similarities in relationships. But they have an adversary and an instigator that's preventing them to get to prosperity. See, South Korea can't be as influential and as significant without North Korea. And what's preventing the two in North Korea can't be as instrumental or as influence and have the same leverage without South Korea. So what is making that happen? It's the demarcation line. It's the demilitarization line. It's the continuous war. It's the continuous North Korean war. I mean, Korean war that is at hand. Once that is broken, they can get back with their cousins, their brothers, their sisters, and reunify in collective prudence and move forward. Keith wants the sound off. Let me get you situated, and then so you can get in. Here we go. One sec.
Okay, Dave, my comment isn't a comment. It's actually a question. I hear everything you're saying, and everything you're saying makes absolute sense. The question is, with that leader of North Korea, what is going to happen with that? That is a nasty individual. How will they possibly get around that?
Who is that again?
The leader of North Korea. That is a ruthless, I don't know, almost psychopathic individual. How do you think that union is going to come about with him reigning in power? He's not going to relinquish anything.
Dave is still muted. Dave, are you there?
Dave, you're still muted.
Yeah, Dave.
Hey,
I got a question for Pastor
Scotty.
Keith.
Dave, so you think they were hiding an alien invasion? He said, just kidding. No, I think it was a solar flare. Scotty Anthony
hey,
has
hey,
a lot
Dave,
to do with the sunspot.
I got a question for
flare.
I got a question for Pastor.
Go ahead, Scotty.
I got a question for Pastor Keith. How do we know, where are we getting our information from about the, let's say, how would we describe it? You were just talking about his psychological profile. Where do we get this information from? According to a person who has spent time with him, that is, what's his name? Dennis Rodman said he's just a big kid, really. And that he doesn't really want to be in power. He doesn't want that responsibility. He would like to do nothing more than just live a life of luxury. You know, of course, he's going to keep the wealth they accumulated. But what makes him such a psychopath as opposed to many of these U.S. presidents who have killed millions of people over the last decade?
I read an article from a young lady that recently had escaped from Korea, and she went on, and it was quite a lengthy article. She talked about how the fact that not only are they completely oppressed as far as information, as far as things that they can read, information they can write, anything that they can say. They were saying that their work camps are unbelievable. And she was saying that what they'll do is if he's unhappy with somebody, he will take that person, their whole family, and three generations of that family, and put them in these work camps. And they just said it. They just said, this young lady said the conditions set by him are just absolutely horrendous. My response to that,
I remember Dennis Rodman being questioned by George Stephanopoulos, the former Clinton Bill Clinton's former chief of staff. And he said, well, North Korea got work camps. And Dennis Rodman said, United States got work camps too. When you look at the fact that we just said, well, you may not have seen it in the news because American-based media has ignored it. But starting August the 21st, there was a nationwide prison strike in the United States with prisoners in solidarity along with those who are in these refugee camps. We call them private prisons. They were in solidarity with the U.S. Held prisoners, and even got solidarity from prisoners in Canada, prisoners in Palestine. And they're pointing out the inhumane conditions that they're forced to live under, and pointing out that this is slavery and slavery was never abolished. The United States, you might have heard this, has 5% of the world's population, but yet 25% of the world's prisoners. So what I'm saying is that we had to take information that we get about other countries with a grain of salt, and then we need to compare them to what this country is doing. 2.5 million people are either in jail, prison, or a detention center. That's including children. People make a lot of money off of that incarceration. So I've never been to North Korea. I can only go by what some people say. And again, I got to take it with a grain of salt. And I have to also realize that I'm getting stuff through an American news filter that has constantly lied us into wars and hit us off with propaganda and what have you. So I'm just saying, man, that I'm not going to call a guy a psychopath any more than I would call Barack Obama a psychopath for what he did to Libya, or Hillary Clinton. They wiped out the entire, or tried to wipe out the entire Gaddafi family. So that's all I'm trying to get us to recognize, that we may think that we live in free in this country, but hey, stuff they say about other countries, and Dave talks about it all the time. Is North Korea? What countries are North Korea occupying and bombing? Who are they assassinating? You know, other than what I heard about him, maybe having his brother assassinated. But this goes on all the time with all of these governments. And I yield the floor.
Well, let me say this, and I'll make it brief. From what I've heard, I'm not going to back down. I hear that the conditions over there are horrendous. But by the same token, I am not going to go tit for tat from you with what this country is doing, because Dave will be the first one to tell you that we live in a nasty, nasty country, without a doubt. I mean, just go back to the Constitution. All men are created equal. And yet the same people that wrote that got slaves working in their yards. So, you know, I you're absolutely right in everything you're saying. And I'm not going to distract that, because you're right. This country, and Dave will tell you, this country is one of the nastiest countries that's ever existed. And their level of a hypocrisy is unparalleled.
But one last thing. In the article, Dave read that this was North Koreans. The South Korean president visited North Korea, and it was the North Koreans who were saying you know, calling for unification of the two countries. Now, if we believe, and again, I'm saying I don't know. I don't have any reliable sources that I can turn to tell me what's the real. So we all speculating off of what we're being told. But I would assume that if he wasn't ready to give up power or what have you, then they wouldn't allow those people to chant. That probably was totally scripted. He probably told them to say that, or the regime told them to say that. But I think the man doesn't want to end up like Gaddafi. I think he wants to save himself, and what better way than to? I think it's a strategic chess move, actually, for them to unify, and the United States just needs to stop meddling in other people's business and let them do what they gonna do. Okay, we're not able to hear anyone.
Hold on, Scott, he's coming back. Take yourself off mute, Keith.
Okay. Scotty, I have no qualms with your questions whatsoever. I agree with you 100%. I was just questioning how would this unification take place, because I just don't know any dictator that has willingly given up power. And from what I've read from about him, and it's not necessarily stemming from, because again, we know about the media over here as well. So I'm not questioning anything you say. I agree with you 100%. I just got a question about how that unification of power will take place. As a matter of fact, Dave, we were going to talk about something about what happened.
We're going to get to that, yeah.
And the reason why I bring that up beforehand was my question was the same. How would the unification of power take place? Because those are never, ever without revolution, bloodshed, and chaos. That's all.
Yeah, it was a great dialogue between you and Scotty, and I will just say this. Scotty said everything I was going to say, Keith, on that. And I would just add this, because I know you and I know what you mean by that, and we need to talk about how that would actually take place. I think that all of the government figureheads are sociopaths and psychopaths, because you can't get to that position without being a sociopath and a psychopath. Because it is really a position that is put on camera. This is why they have all their entourages, and you see them before they have these meetings. They come out and they have the press right there, then the press leaves and they go behind closed doors. What are they doing behind those closed doors? Are they engaging in how's your daughter, what's going on here? We don't know. And then they come out with a press release from here and there. So we and I say that from this standpoint, is that when we are play by their rules, then they rule, you know. So they sit back and they say, this is how this works. And so to your point, what I do know, I don't know much about North Korea, because I've never been there, right? I've never been there. And I think that if you just research North Korea, the capital city, and look at it in YouTube, right, if that's really it and everything else, you don't know and everything else. But if you look at it, it's going to be quite shocking to you. It's going to be quite shocking to you. The development, the technology that's there, it's beautiful. But what I do know is this. I don't know about North Korea, but I know about the United States. And what I know about the United States is that they're liars, prodigious killers, they're political serial killers. They can't be trusted, not in just one thing, but they can't be trusted in anything. So anything that they say, see, you know how we say, I have different friends, right? I have the wise, the one that that gives direction, the one that confirms, and I have the fool, right? The fool is the most important one, because the fool, you ask the fool, what would you do? Whatever the fool says, you do the opposite. Well, see, the U.S. is the immoral fool. So whatever they say, I know is not right. And so, yeah, I think really when we when, which you and Scotty is saying has synergy, because we all know all of these governments are run by sociopaths and psychopaths and political serial killers. How in the world, and then Scotty has another one more question. Keith, Scotty, how in the world can you legally murder millions of people and set the law without being a politician and a government official, an authority of a government? Because that's what all of these heads of states do. But Scotty wanted to chime in on
something. Well, two things, because you just brought something to my mind. Yesterday I was reporting on the trial of Van Dyke up there in Chicago that killed Laquan McDonald, shot him 16 times. And the defense attorney said something very similar to what you just said. And he said, even if he did kill him, it was lawful. It wasn't murder. Saying that since he was a cop, it was lawful for him to kill this young man, even though he posed no threat to anyone but himself. Okay? So that's very similar to what you just said. They'll commit murder and then say it's legal or it's lawful or what have you. But something else Keith raised that just reminds me. One of my cousins, she's about the same age as me. She just spent several years working in China. And she was talking about the censorship in China. I actually interviewed her on BTR News. And she said some things that were very interesting to me in terms of freedom. Now, we know that we hear, now I'm not going to say we know, but we hear, well, she knows because she's been there. She spent several years working there. She said, you can't turn on the television set and see people shooting and killing people. They don't allow that blatant violence on television or through the internet. They definitely censor that type of stuff. But then she said something else. She said that she was living in a city of 10 million people and she never felt safer. She never felt safer walking alone alone because you just don't have those type of murders going on. Not to say that stuff doesn't happen over there, you know, they've had incidents, but they don't have crime like we have here. And she said, now, I don't know if they did that on purpose to engineer people's behavior or what have you, but it just reminds me of a movement I've been a part of to get this killer rap music off of the terrestrial radio stations. Now, as a Christian pastor who's familiar with the Bible, you know the Bible tells you to guard your eye gate, to guard your ear gate. Why does it tell you that? Because you can be programmed. Some people might say by evil spirits. I'm not going to go there and say by evil spirits. But you're being programmed with a behavior that is causing you to act out violently or whatnot. It's totally acceptable in U.S. culture. And then when you look at the sex crimes here, you know, porn is the number one entertainment here in the United States. So I'm just saying that we think freedom means, we think that we ought to be, not saying that you believe this, Pastor Keith, but some people think that we ought to be free to do whatever we want to do, to watch whatever we want to watch, and we don't look at the repercussions of that type of society where violence is just rampant on television, in these images, through music and whatnot, and we don't seem to make the correlation. And again, going back to the Bible, that's why the Bible tells you to guard your eye gate and guard your ear gate. Be careful of what you're watching and taking into your spirit. Careful of what you're listening to that you're taking in your spirit. I yield the floor.
Yeah, I think you guys misconstrued what I said just slightly. My question again was simply about how that power resolve is going to take place.
Yes.
Don't get me wrong. Dave would tell you the first off that I believe that the United States is modern-day Babylon. It don't get no worse than that, you know. So I'm not looking at it from a point of a judgment or anything else, because who are we to judge? We are the last to judge anybody. Like I said, we reign in hypocrisy. We reign in violence. We reign in imprisonment. We reign in oppression. We reign in underhandedness. You know, and I can go on and on and on and on with this. I'm not naive to that whatsoever, you know. So I'm not looking at it from a judgment point of view, not from here.
No, that's not how I took you, Pastor Keith.
I'm just looking at it, how that transfer, where the relinquishing of power take place between the two nations.
Yeah, I wasn't taking your question like that, but you did mention the censorship that this person who left there, she talked about, you know, the censorship and all of that. And I was just speaking in general terms, not, you know, since you mentioned that, it just brought to my mind my conversation with my cousin, which I want to invite her back, you know, because of the censorship through media that they have in those countries, but then they don't have the high amount of crime that we have, and if there's a correlation. So I was just putting that out there. I wasn't, you know, insinuating that you were saying anything. It just brought to my mind that conversation and interview with my cousin about her experience in China.
I got one more thing for you, too, kind of on a different kill, but a comment that you said was kind of real interesting. I think I showed it to you yesterday, Dave, whereas you got Ted Cruz, which is a state senator here, and he was referring to that officer that killed that young man in his own apartment. And his comment yesterday, aligned with what you were saying, was his comment was this. His comment said, you know what? I believe that murder was committed, but I don't think that she should lose her job over it. Yeah, that's a whole mouthful right there.
Yeah, and it was, you know, real quick, and because it's great, we're getting ready to go to a commercial break. I see Brother Davis is there. I'm going to come to you in 1 second, Brother Davis. And, you know, Keith, and I'm glad you raised the point, because I know you. I know that what Scotty was saying and what we are saying, you're in line with, and that is how that's generally what you say, you know, in the whole conversation. But it was good that we did take it there, because it really developed the whole conversation as to what we're really dealing with. And what you're saying is, and we get what you're saying, it wasn't that Scotty was going against that or going against you or I was going against you on that at all. What was significant, your question was, how does that transfer of power takes place? And we'll do that in the second hour for sure. But it was critical, because in light of that question, we can now see a more broader scope that we always have to go back to first before we can even go anywhere else, is that all of these governments are enfranchised, and their enfranchisement is about enslaving everyone that's here on the planet. That's their franchise. That's what that government franchise is. The government franchise is that they're in collusion with each other. But it appears to be that they're against each other, because in that appearance, their true target is never really disclosed or obvious to everyone, that being every single person on this planet in subjugation and enslavement. And so that's a very masterful, asymmetrical way to have control of people. You divide them. You divide them. And so what you were saying, how in the world can this dude, as a psychopath and sociopath, we don't know, but could it be that he is? Oh, I bet I wouldn't be surprised that he is, or he isn't, you know, probably is. And to me, he probably is, because he's the celebrity figurehead of that country, you know. But in that, is he any different than anyone else, from Kennedy to Washington to Obama, to Carter, to any of them? Is there any real difference between him and them? And I would say no, because they are the CEO of the corporation of a non-existing person that is put in place to subjugate everyone. So same thing with what you're saying, but we'll definitely get into how that is the look. We're going to go to commercial break, then Brother Davis wants to chime in, then we're going to get on the show, because it's so important what you said is, how is that going to take place? I don't know exactly. I'll give my opinion, you'll give yours, our callers will give theirs, but it's really, really critical. But I'm glad that you raised that question, because if you didn't raise that question and put it out, we will have missed an opportunity to get a regrounding of everyone that's listening to this show. Don't think just because his color or his flag is any different than the mantra and the objective and the motive of the flag that so-called that you have. There's no difference at all. They're all in cahoots against you. So that is the real main thing. So listen, everyone, you got to get ready to go to a commercial break. You're listening to Tando Radio Show, brought to you by Black Talk Radio Network. If you want to get in on the conversation, give us a call, 704-802-5056. Get ready to go to a commercial break. When we come back, we'll go with Brother Davis, and then we'll jump into today's show. Very, very important. We'll be right back after these quick commercial breaks.
You are tuned in to the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasts and live program scheduling, visit us on the web at blacktalkradionetwork.com.
Okay, welcome back, everyone, to Tando Radio Show, brought to you by Black Talk Radio Network. I'm your host, Dave, from L.A., coming to you live from FEMA Region Number 6. If you'd like to get in on the conversation, give us a call, 704-802-5056. 704-802-5056 is the call-in number. And so we'd love to hear from you. We're going to start off. We're going to go to Brother Davis. Then we're going to jump into today's show. Brother Davis, welcome, welcome. Always good to hear the voice of a friend. What say you?
Absolutely, brother. Always good. Great show as usual. I want to point out a few things that we have seemed to be reluctant to accept. One of them is white society has no intention for there to be equality on any level in any country. It doesn't serve the purpose of white supremacy. We have to understand that in our communities, these radio stations that play the very exact thing that Brother Scotty is talking about are being paid to perpetuate that negativity in our ear. Why? Because it's a window. We can see it when we walk down the street. Our children are more inundated by video life than they are the lifestyle trying to be established by their parents. The sad part about it is that it's on 24/7, and parents have work schedules and can't stay on top of them the way they would like to, so they allow the systems to inundate their children in a indoctrinal way. And the sad part about that is that those children are getting more lost into the concept of technology and trends than they are in education and self-identification. So we have actually failed by being inundated by a system that works 24/7. It's not that we have not made the attempt, as much as we cannot compete with something that can be turned on and off with a switch when our schedules require us to have a quality of life. So I agree wholeheartedly with the fact that, yes, the system, the way it's designed in China, is designed in order to maintain a certain level of morality in public. But on the other hand, the United States system is not like that. The United States system wants you to believe that you can do whatever feels good, and that is destructive. And the sad part about it is that our children are being destroyed, because in reality they've been inundated with this so-called commercialism on every level. And look at the habits. No one has ever taken time and said to a child, have you ever Googled what happens if you eat meat for long-term consumption? Why? Because that requires them to do something that they don't have to do in the radio age. So they would have to read. In the radio age, if they press a button, they could hear it. That's sufficient. But that also subdues the personal initiative to grow. I just wanted to add that, brothers.
Well said, as always, Brother Davis. And tomorrow we'll let you know if it's going to be a Wise Wednesday. So definitely, and Brother Davis, always, well said, and it is really the foundation of everything that's here, and we in my opinion, in our opinion, holistically, what we have to do is utilize what we were given to us naturally, not this man-made, you know, paradigm that is, you know, it's completely controlled. They created government, so they have the patent on it. And that overall, the thing when you create something, you can patent it because it benefits you. So we definitely need to have a more holistic approach to everything and look at and open our eyes. And it's hard to do that when the food that we eat is synthetic now. It's no longer providing for the proper nourishment for your body to function and operate and discern things in the way that it normally could. Our vision, we probably can't see anymore. You know, I wouldn't be surprised if our vision was so sharp that it was able to actually see the overall aura of an individual. But if that gets calcified, now your vision becomes to where it can only discern things based off of the light spectrum. I bet our vision originally was not hindered by the light spectrum. We probably had night vision. We probably had vision to where we could penetrate into the deepness of space because we had infrared capabilities. All of these things are possibilities, but I know that what is actually given to us now and what we how we engage ourselves and how we interact ourselves with different things is very synthetic. So the natural body can't work naturally now. It actually is being put into a frequency that's much lower. That's a death-based frequency that's lower. And because of that, you start to lose some of your intrinsic value and capabilities and your talent. So,
hey, Brother Dave, well said, before you go,
brother, yes.
Before you go,
yes.
I want to add something to that because, see, You're hitting all around the first show that I'm going to do when I get back. And the sad part about it is that in my research, I have to sustain the truth. And truth can be a burden to bear. But to just give you a little caveat.
The truth.
Now they're integrating the food processes and the shipping and manufacturing of food with the concepts of nanotechnology. Now, understand exactly how I said that, because nanotechnology is the science on a molecular level. So, therefore, if they're inundating the food process, what will be the next level of that molecular structure in the technological chain? We'll go into that on our first show back, brother. I just wanted to give you a little caveat to let you know you are more on the right path. It's just that there's so few of us that are even considering this. And listen, like I always say, don't accept what I say. Do your own research because it's there. They're just not telling you it's there. And when you look, you're going to realize that you're more of a scientific experiment than you could have possibly imagined, especially if you have continued the regular, should I say, Western diet. I'll leave it at that, brothers. Great show. I'll sit back and listen.
Man, Brother Davis, well said. And, you know, you talked about the nanotechnology and the molecular, couldn't say it. Yes, what Keith said. Structuring of it. See, biology is the key to the future. And right now, to augment what Brother Davis was saying, is that it's not only in the food, it's in the drugs. They are actually, there's a study that was done out of MIT using nanoparticle gold for drugs. And they're using nanoparticle gold for drugs for a reason. But see, what they didn't say is they're also using nanoparticle silver in those same drugs for a reason. And was what Brother Davis was saying, the nano, because it's the smaller coming in the nano space. Because they're doing that because the body will never, ever refuse silver and gold. It is always an invited guest. And if the invited guest is carrying a poison with it, it can inundate your cells and saturate your cells more effectively. That's why they want to use nano silver and gold. They only said gold out of MIT, But see, silver is more valuable and much stronger and much more has more intrinsic value, can do more things than gold can. It's 10 times more valuable than gold. And because of that, when they said nanoparticle gold, that means that they were using nanoparticle silver, which would be even more deadly to you, because your body will never reject when silver knocks at his door. So it can, if it's attached to something that is malevolent, that overall poison. See, there's a difference between poison and a germ and a virus and a bacteria. See, they can't put the virus of something onto silver, because silver will kill the virus. But what they can do is they can put poison on silver, and it will saturate your cells, and that's how it will be more effective than what it does. I'm looking forward to that, Brother Davis. That is something that we definitely need to have. So looking forward to that. Just let me know when, Brother Davis. So great input. So important. Okay. All right. So, but at any time, you want to jump in, give us a call, 704-802-5056. Now, what we want to do is jump into today's show. And it was part of what Pastor Keith was saying. How would that overall exchange of power in North Korea? But I also think that there is going to be something that we need to significantly look at, because, in my opinion, we're definitely on the brink of war. We just, you know, every night in Syria and in that region of the world, the destabilization and the move towards war is here. And last night was a prime example of how this is going to happen. See, tonight, today, yesterday, it was a countermeasure or a intelligence gathering plane. Tomorrow it will be a dogfight between an Israeli plane or a U.S. plane and a Russian plane or a Syrian plane. And then what will happen is that, see, Syria should have never been attacked by Israel, because they were the aggressive. They were actually engaging into an attack that is an act of war. They were bombing Syria, and this whole situational piece that's there, you have multiple militaries that are there. You have the U.S. military that's there illegally. You have the Turkish military that's there illegally. You have the Israeli presence denying their overall sovereignty by border crossing with military, which is an act of war, that's there illegal. The only ones that are there that have been invited was the Russian, was the Iranian. And so you have all of these military assets that's there. Now you have the French that are there. Now you have the NATO that are there. And there was also something that was been highlighted. And let me just put this on the table real quick. Putin came back and said that it looks as if the shooting of the Russian plane was an accident. He said it looks that way. He said this it was in RT. The celebrity figurehead Putin said that, and posted it in the last one, was that it looks accidental, like a chain of tragedy circumstances. Well, here's the chain of tragedy. Israel should have never attacked Syria to begin with. Now, why is that? What this really is happening, and Keith and Scotty and all you all have military experience, and Brother Davis, you all have, and those of you that do have military engagement. Putin just said something very wise. And it was a smart strategical play. Like Scotty talked about Kim Jong-un, there was a strategical play that you agree with right away, Keith, that what he's doing is really smart, because he doesn't want to be like Gaddafi, right? He wants to be able to get to where his objective is without being Gaddafi-ized, right? Putin just did something so strategically smart. He took the high road here. He says, oh, it looks as if it was accidental, like a chain of tragedy circumstance. Why is that? Basically, this is what he's saying. Now, what they're going to say, in order for us not to have these accidents anymore, we're going to put up a no-fly zone. And then putting up that no-fly zone, because we don't want any more accidents. You know, like when you shot down our plane. What could have happened, Russia actually could have shot that plane down themselves. Because governments do this all the time to go to war. Because they realize if we do that, now we are going to put them in a position. See, one of the things with political, and this is why celebrity figurehead Trump is not politically savvy, Putin being a KGB dude is completely politically savvy. So what does he do? He says, oh, Putin on Israel's role in the IL-20 Downing looks accidental, like a chain of tragedy circumstances. Why is that so smart? Here's the play in that. The play in that is that, yes, this is a tragedy. It was an accident. So to prevent any further accidents, we're going to have a no-fly zone over Syria. So these accidents can never happen again. And what does a no-fly zone mean? A no-fly zone means that now Israel can never attack Syria again. Else, in the no-fly zone, you get shot down. See, if you don't have your planes up, then there can't be any accident. So what does that do, a no-fly zone do? That means that the overall military installations that the U.S. has, they got to move those assets out of there because there's a no-fly zone. And one of the things that the U.S. military always has to do when they invade a country is they're always going to need what? Supplies brought into them by what? By way of plane. So Putin just put this in. Now, Putin is saying, remember what Putin said, the Russia has the right to respond now. You shot down our plane and you caused our plane to go down. One of the first things that was actually said was that the first article that I put in is that Russia reserves the right to respond after saying Israel's action led to the downing of the IL-20 in Syria. Here's Russia's response. Now we're going to shoot down everything in the air. This is all out. This is moving to all out war now. So now the French planes can't fly there without what? Without the permission of those that established the no-fly zone. Do you think that they're going to give permission for Israel to come in the no-fly zone? This is how you move to war when it looks like you're preventing war, but you're actually perpetuating it. So they're going to use this as leverage. See, Israel and the U.S. arrogantly lost the initiative here. Their arrogance, because they attack the country. And there, see, when you do that, you lose all moral high ground. You should have never been in the country. So what this is an ingenious political, geopolitical strategy that was moved, because what does Putin already know, Keith?
He knows where we're already going.
He already knows where we're going. And he knows that the war is already started and is only going to grow. So what is he going to do? He is going to leverage that to whose advantage? To theirs. How do you do that? You come up with methodologies that get you to your objective in the quickest, expedient, without resistance path. And that's what he's doing. Celebrity figurehead Trump wouldn't been able to be as savvy enough to do this. Netanyahu's not savvy enough to do these things. And this is why are they not savvy enough to do these things? Because the system put in those individuals, they selected them because why? They can't think like that. So what did it do with the other side? The system knew that Putin could think that way, and they wanted him to be there. And then what does it do? It serves their all purpose altogether. This shows you who's going to win this war before the first real blow is struck. Because in war, the first blow and the successful blow of winning is decided before the first shot is fired. It's position. It's position. On the chessboard, the center. If you control the center, you control the whole chessboard. In the game of Go, it's time and space. If you control time and space, you've already won. Jump in, Keith. Let me just take this real quick.
I think along the lines of the same thing that you're saying is, I don't know, Dave. I think it's almost a mute point. And the reason why is because if we look at the way this thing is going, I was making a point with Dave yesterday when we start looking at war and we start looking at, we were talking about the same things, kind of, we were talking about how would this would come about. And he mentioned something yesterday. He mentioned how this thing could just dissolve, like Russia dissolved, you know, a couple of decades ago. You know, they just fell from within, and we were looking at the possibility that happened with the United States. And Dave was saying the advantages of that would be great for the world because they would accomplish everything that they wanted to accomplish without having to go through it. I was saying it'd be great for us because us going to war, again, is a mute point. And the reason why I say it's a mute point is because Germany, when almost defeated us single-handedly by themselves. You know, if you look at their expertise in the military arena, it's just almost unparalleled. So if you look at Germany, if you look at Russia, if you look at China, if you look at Korea, if you look at Iran, if you look at, all of those are going to go to war with us. So I'm saying, Dave, why would we even think about going to war? It makes no sense to me, but by the same token, there's no way in sin that the United States is going to go quietly in the night. You know, and so, I don't know, it almost beyond me, the stupidity of everything that we're talking about.
Yeah, it's so unnecessary. And how I'm reading it, I'm not saying I'm right, anybody else is right, it's just our overall, but see, by doing this, I realize the importance of preparing for that, because this is definitely going to happen. What's happening in Syria is going to be happening in San Francisco. What's happening in Syria is going to be happening in New Orleans. It's going to be happening in the port of Los Angeles. It's going to be happening in New York City. It's going to be happening in Chicago. It's going to be happening in Dallas, Houston. It's going to happen throughout the U.S. The overall wage of war is not going to be exclusively exempt from the United States. As a matter of fact, it's going to be the primary battleground. It's going to be the primary battleground. Because here's, in my opinion, how this thing goes. It goes two ways. And as Keith said, and we were talking, and I said that the best thing for the U.S. to do is just really to default. Default without a fight. And the reason being is because the outcome has already been decided. And it doesn't matter what happens. And because the outcome has already been decided, the U.S. is already completely insolvent. Once you get to a position of insolvency, it doesn't matter, you can't win. So even if the U.S. was to go to war, the outcome will be the same as if it doesn't go to war, but the overall degree of the transfer would be. That's the thing that really, really is critical. So if the U.S. goes to war, it's going to be worse for the rest of the world. Because there will be an actual exchange. The U.S. is going to be capable enough to maintain a war. for a little while, but the outcome for a short period of time, but the outcome will be no different. It will still lose, but it will inflict some significant damage around the world. But the outcome would not be any different. It would be better for the rest of the world if the U.S. was to just default. And because they're insolvent, to go into receivership. And it would actually even be better for the so-called corporation of the U.S. as well. Because if they fight it, then there's going to be a what? A hostile takeover. See, when you go through a hostile takeover of a corporation, because this is what this is a corporation. And when there's a fight and there's a hostile takeover, what do? They come in and they destroy everything. They kill everything that built the overall reason for the hostility. But if the U.S. decides to strategically merge, and in that merger, that means that someone else is going to come in and take over, and they're going to be the one that's buying, and you're the one that's selling everything. And they're coming in and buying, selling. It would be easier on the world if that. And everyone that's living here. Living here, here's the twofold. Here's the thing that I'm seeing that's critical. If the U.S. doesn't go to war, the overall untying of the receivership or the default or the liquidation of the U.S. will be much easier on everyone here. It will still happen. It will still be significant. It will still be meaningful. There will still be a lot of violence because I think that there's going to be a civil war that will be fought here. But the rest of the world won't care about the U.S. civil war. They won't care about it. They won't be adversely impacted by the civil war of the U.S. The only ones that will be impacted by the civil war of the U.S. is those under the human resource that's under the corporation of the U.S. Its so-called citizens will be. There will be a war. It will either be a global war, World War III, that will turn into global nuclear war, or it will just be a U.S. civil war. And the world wants to, and it would be better for the world to just to have the U.S. have a civil war. But either way, with the U.S., there is going to be a significant amount of violence in this overall wealth transfer. It doesn't happen any other way throughout history. It is going to happen. And one of the things that I thought was really keen that Russia did in the 90s was they strategically allowed Russia to default and to actually dissolve. And it was the smartest thing to do. See, Russia is in the same position that the U.S. The U.S. is in the same position as that the Russians were in the 90s. And they chose the latter because they knew by allowing themselves to dissolve, they could come back and recreate themselves to be even stronger and bigger. And what they did was they did this, and it was the smartest move, asymmetrical move that could be done. And we should learn from these asymmetrical moves, because asymmetrical moves give you a position of advantage. They said, let's default. Let's let Russia go down. Let's dissolve Russia. And then the rest of the world will no longer look at us and what we're doing and how we're accomplishing things and what we can build. We can actually go into default. It will hurt the people here, yes. But then what we do is that we could come back even stronger. And what we'll do is that why do we need to come back stronger? Because right now, in the 90s, the U.S. dollar and the U.S. debt was not in a position where they could go into – where the Russia could have the U.S. Become insolvent and default. So the U.S. wasn't in that position. So what did Russia do? It was the smartest thing. they actually dissolved themselves, went into to receivership, dissolved in the breakup of the Soviet Union, and they let the United States be the only superpower. And guess what the arrogant, ignorant, naive United States did? They gloated at, said, "We won." You didn't even realize it was the death knell of your whole country forever when that happened. You were done because you were the only superpower. And when you become the only superpower, here's what happens. Your insatiable appetite consumes you. See, Russia knew it was just like what Putin just did. Russia's dissolvement of Russia was like a KGB play. What Putin just did by saying, "Oh, it was an accident," was a KGB play that actually put your opponent in checkmate. And so when they dissolved the Soviet Union, there was only one superpower that was left. And when you had one superpower that was left, they would not be able to resist the temptation to overextend themselves in the wine of splendor and celebration of, "We're the best. We're the greatest country ever. America is great." And what happened? Your arrogance caused you to lose the initiative of balance. So listen, get ready to go to a commercial break. Last commercial break. If you'd like to get in on the conversation, give us a call, 704-802-5056. I want to talk about this even further and to give you a clue as to what I think is going to be happening here and why it's so important for you to prepare and get in front of it. You're listening to Tando Radio Show. We'll be right back after this quick commercial break.
Hi, the Black Talk Media Project would like to invite you to become a member of the BTR Community subscription-based social media platform. BTR Community is a platform that was set up for the listening audience of Black Talk Radio Network, the number one independent Black radio network online. For just $24 per year, your subscription gives you access to an interactive space to share information with like-minded people with your privacy guaranteed. Your subscription will go a long way to help us maintain and improve our current media platforms. It will also help provide a budget so that we can begin the task of establishing localized media centers and radio stations across the United States. The best way to show your support and appreciation for what we do here at Black Talk Radio is to subscribe. Help us to help you be informed. Join BTRCommunity.com today.
Make Black Talk Radio your choice for digital black radio. New black media for the new millennium.
Welcome back, everyone, to Tando Radio Show, brought to you by Black Talk Radio Network. If you'd like to get in on the conversation, give us a call, 704-802-5056, 704-802-5056. And just before we were going into the commercial break, I said that, you know, I truly see that there's really two, we're on the brink of war. And you really need to prepare yourself and your family for it. And I think there's multiple paths, two major paths that can be taken. It could be World War III that will turn into GWN1, Global Nuclear War One, or it can just turn into the Civil War that the United States will just engage in internally, and there won't be a global war. And I would say that the wisest thing for the U.S. actually to do is not to perpetuate the overall global war that they would already lose, because they've already lost it. They've already lost it. The best thing to do is to just to, and the best thing for the global community is for the U.S. just to surrender its true position. But will it do that? We absolutely know that it won't. But if it does do that, what will happen here? Either way, there is going to be a violent transfer that will happen here in the corporational territory known as the United States, either by Global Nuclear War One or by Civil War. That will not be escaped. That will not be escaped. The rest of the world has the opportunity to escape violence, the violence of war. Hopefully that will be the path. But here in the States, global war or civil war, it will be the untied states of America either way. And I was talking about Russia before we went into the commercial break, and Russia was smart. They realized by sitting down and saying, okay, you won, they realized that that would totally nullify the U.S. completely. And the reason why, because they knew that the U.S. would be like a celebrity figurehead, Donald Trump. They had a sense of entitlement that they would now, because of that, they would gloat in their overall so-called victory that they didn't. It wasn't even a victory. It was a Trojan horse move. See, if they were really smart back in the 1990s when Russia faltered, you know what the U.S. should have did? The wise thing to have done was to scale everything back and to falter as well. Now what they had done, that would have put them on a playing field that was equal with the rest of the world. But what did they do? They said, no. We're the beacon of everything. Everyone needs to pay us. All of your resource goes to us. So they developed an insatiable appetite and their debt soared. And that's what Russia really wanted to do. The best way to do to defeat a consumer mind is to give them everything they want. They will eat themselves to death because they have no restraint or discipline. And that was the strategical asymmetrical play that Russia, and I believe that it was actually probably, if you think about it, where would that tactic really come from? That tactic would have to come from something that's ancient. And that tactic probably came from the continent and from China. How do you defeat an empire? If you really think about it, the continent has defeated all of the empires. How did the continent, and I say the continent is commonly referred to as Africa, how did Africa really defeat so many colonizers? Very easily. Give them everything that they want. They will overconsume and they will eat themselves to death. And they will do, China will fall victim to this as well, I think. But one of the things, it'll be harder for China to do it because China is not a nation that's been around for just 100, 200 years. China's been around for a very long time. They've seen all kind of empires come and go. They have experience with that. And one of the things that we always have to remember is this. If someone is more experienced with you, be careful in your relationship with them and your dealings with them, because they can kill you with experience. And so, from that standpoint, that overall asymmetrical approach was the perfect way to defeat a giant. What do? You make the giant carry his own weight, and then it will falter. It will falter. So Keith wants to chime in real quick. Hold on, Keith. Let me mute myself.
Hey, Dave, just to piggyback on, can you hear me? Just to piggyback on what you were saying, even before we started having all these issues that we're having now with this outbreak of war and the world turning against the United States, et cetera, et cetera. Russia had prophesied several decades ago, and they said, we will never have to go to a war with the United States because they will fall from the inside out. They will destroy themselves without war. And they said that long before any of this stuff was an issue. So.
Yes, they actually did, and it's commonly referred to as the it escapes me, what project it was, and so the destabilization of the United States. I forget what that overall program was, and it worked completely so efficient, so effective, and it's worked. It's really worked, and so I don't know. I think Scotty left his line open, but. Here's what, so we know in my opinion, we could see that part of it with the global community. If the U.S. was to surrender itself, is the only real, it's the right thing to do. When you've been defeated, you've been completely defeated. Because if you do that, you have the opportunity to be able to regain yourself, reinvent yourself, to reestablish and not to lose everything. But they're not going to do that. We know that they're not savvy enough to do that. They're too blood hungry. And they've taught us to be that way. And we have to be careful not to become what we've had to endure. We really do, because that's an asymmetrical way to defeat you. That's a way to defeat our family. That's a way to defeat our community. Because you will falter and you will fall just like the U.S. It will have no exclusion. It won't discriminate. No one will be immune to that type of energy. Here's what I think will happen in the state, and it's very important for us to know this and prepare for it. Either way, by way of global nuclear war one or by way of civil war, there will be a violent transfer and a violent direction in a violent campaign that will happen here in the United States. How steep will it be? Extremely. It will be extremely steep on any platform, by way of the global nuclear war or by way of the civil war. Because the global nuclear war will be worse, because it will not only be the civil war, because there will be the civil war and the global nuclear war. It would be better just to deal with the civil war. Because if the U.S. tries to fight the rest of the world, there will be a global nuclear war, and then that will also trigger a civil war here. It will be totally nullified. You'll lose completely everything.
Dave.
Completely everything. Yeah, go ahead, Scotty.
Yeah, I got a question, a comment, and a question. And I've heard you say this before, and I'm in agreement with that. I'm looking at it as opportunity.
Yes.
Here in the United States to remake, this landmass into something that serves the people, more just. I'm just looking at it as an opportunity if it occurs. The other thing I wanted to ask you, when you say civil war, who are the actors in this civil war? Do you think? Do you think it's going to be along racial lines? And the reason I ask that is that the black community is having this film promoted to them that we're engaged in a race war, or race war is coming. And I don't agree with that. I don't, you need two armies to engage in war. I don't see any of us training for war, or we may have pockets of people training, and not necessarily training for war, but getting prepared for what, anything. But who do you think the primary actors would be in a civil war?
Great, great, great question, Scotty. In my estimation, I think the actors of the civil war will be the actors of the past civil war, will be the states. The states will be fighting for resources. And there will actually be all kinds of violence. There will be predatory opportunists that will come along that you will have to defend yourself with as an individual within the destabilization of the country. But the states will actually fight themselves. And what I mean by the states will fight themselves is that it will be a civil war where the states will actually be fighting the federal government. They will be fighting for control, because they will all want to. It's going to be the untied states of America, because if you look at the overall debt that the U.S. has, the states are going to say, wait a minute, especially the states with resources. They're going to say, wait a minute, we didn't create this. We didn't tell you to do this. We didn't benefit from it. We actually were adversely affected by this. We're not paying this. So we're going to succeed. We're going to lead. And when they say that they're going to leave, guess what the federal government is going to say? No, you're not. And you're not going to leave, and you're going to stay. And even if we got to force you, And then there goes your civil war. Now, within that overall civil war paradigm, there are going to be regional pockets of violence, strong pockets of violence that will be actually broken down to all forms of demographics. It'll be families, it will be neighborhoods, it will be everyone, because it will be a free-for-all for a while. But then there will become stability that will come from that, because there will be something that everyone will gain. Once you start fighting something and someone fights you back and they hit you back, you realize something. Is this worth fighting for? So the civil war, and it will definitely be perpetuated by aggravators. There are certain groups and organizations within every country and within every neighborhood that will look at this as an opportunity to prey on other people. And there will be aggravators and instigators of all kinds for all different reasons. There are fanatics everywhere. And then some people are more fanatic towards this side or that side. And those individuals will see an opportunity to project their agenda. And they will look to project that agenda by force, because that's everything that they've been taught. And so I really do see the Civil War being no different than the past civil wars, is when the states and the feds don't align, and the states, and particularly states that have assets, they're going to want to leave, and they're going to want to leave the overall debt ladenness of the U.S. They don't want the overall the burden of the debt to hinder their overall economic prosperity, because they have resources. Texas is one state that is definitely going to leave. California will be one state that will try to leave. Nevada will try to leave. Arizona will try to leave. Other states will try to leave. The ones with resources are going to say, no, 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 no. You already lost this war. And one of the things is that if the U.S. does try to surrender here, one of the things that the rest of the world is going to say in that surrenderance is going to say what? You can surrender, but you got to pay that debt. And then when that happens, the states are going to say, no, not me. I'm going to make my own deal. So I anticipate that Texas will try to make a deal with China. And guess what they will say? Okay, you could do that, but you can't do that as a state of the United States. Else you're going to get the same deal as the United States does. So there's an old saying, on a bank run, the first one to the bank wins. So these states are going to look at each other, so the first one to succeed is going to win. How do you see evidence of that right now? Well, Texas was the first state to build and open its own gold depository, and it told the U.S. it had to give them back all of its gold. What is that? That's an asymmetrical sign that somebody's already been talking to somebody to cut a deal. And the new deal, a new global economy, is going to be based off of assets. So if you don't have assets, you have debt. You become a slave. You don't have a position of advantage. There's an economic table, okay? And at the economic table, you're either sitting at the economic table or you're the one that's being served on the table. So I think that there's a lot of states that have had secret conversations, especially the ones with assets. The other ones are so based in consumerism and everything else, they don't even see a position, and there is no way that they have any leverage to get out of this whole thing. So there are particular states that have, and they've already looked at that, and they don't want to lose what they've already built. So that's how I see the whole civil war starting. And then in those states that are engaged in those civil wars, the ones that get out and ones that get out first and already have their overall treaties with different things, they're going to have the overall protection of certain nations. So that is going to be critical. Keith wanted to jump in real quick. Let me 1 second, Keith. Yeah, Keith, it is. It definitely is. And anytime you default on debt is ugly. Anytime that you overextend yourself in the debt, because this is what happens when you overextend yourself into debt, and if you don't pay it, it's not that you have a debt problem, it's the one that you owe to now has a debt problem, because they have liabilities that are not being serviced. So what does that do to them? That makes them what? The overall holders of the liability. Now they go into default. So what do you have to do? You have to do asset forfeiture on those that owe you. No. You're not going to walk away with, I'm sorry, I can't pay you. I'll go bankrupt. I won't have ability to create more debt. I'm sorry. And then you leave with everything you have. No. You're going to leave with no shirt on. So that's how this really works. And the overall civil war is going to be have a multitude of personalities, a multitude of interests. There's going to be agitators and instigators in that overall warfare. Then it will smooth itself back out. You'll have the untied states of America, and then there will be the overall rebuilding process that will go along from there. And I hope that we all, as Scotty was saying, this is an opportunity for us to position ourselves in a more advantageous situation that brings about the beneficial prosperity that we've lost in the past. So how we respond to this is going to be critical, essential. And it's important for you to prepare, because as you're preparing for your family, yourself and your family, that's why you should be doing it, because there are events that are going to be happening that will adversely affect you and your family. And if you put yourself in a better position, the overall blow of that overall wealth transfer won't be a striking blow. It will be a flow. It will flow to you instead of blowing you. It's going to do one or the other. And this is why preparing is more important than Friday's game, Saturday's game, or Housewives or this or that, or any movie. Keith wants to chime in real quick. Let me get you up, Keith. Hold on a sec.
Dave, the way I see it is, if we have a massive world war, you're going to find worldly destruction on a massive scale. The best scenario for, I think, individuals that are listening to this talk show would be if we were to become insolvent within ourselves. You're going to have a massive, ugly civil war. If you look at our history, by far our worst war was the Civil War. Well, if it unfolds, if we have another one, that's going to repeat itself. It's going to be by far, again, our worst war. However, what it will do, if you're prepared like you're saying, is it would be a whole lot safer for the people that are prepared if they can get themselves and their families outside of this country, because outside this country should be relatively safe for Americans. They're not at war with them. However, if it goes the other way, there's not going to be any place safe for Americans. Now, what's going to happen is those that are prepared, they're going to have it a whole lot more options than those that aren't. Whole lot more options. However, it's still going to be ugly for them as well.
And you're right, Keith. And the thing I want to just comment on before we get out of here is, like you said, Keith, if the U.S. doesn't have a war with the world, the world won't be at war with the U.S. So there will be some sanctuaries that people can go to, so-called American citizens can go to outside of the U.S. Only on this accord. Here's what it is. You won't be able to take your U.S. dollar with you, because it won't be accepted by anyone anywhere. They won't allow you to come in to be a burden on their country and their economy. where you become dependent on where your overall needs will be dependent upon someone providing for you. They're not going to allow you to do that. You won't be able to take your overall U.S. debt instrument or the U.S. currency or the U.S. dollar and go somewhere else and think you'll be okay, because it won't be accepted anymore. That's why the U.S. Has had to surrender, is because of this insatiable appetite. So you would have to go in a position where you are a resource-based individual that can sustain itself and is a benefit to any country that you went to after that. That will require you to prepare for it. So I just really wanted to place that out. Listen, we got to get ready to get out of here. I don't know if Scotty wanted to chime in real quick.
Yeah, Dave, I'm not going anywhere. I just wanted to add
that. Yeah, me
either. I'm not going anywhere, because I know the region that I live in. I know how to live off the land. So I'll take my chances right here at home. I'm not going somewhere where I don't know nobody and I don't know the land. If I die, I die, but I'm prepared to die every day. So.
Yep. Yeah, I'm not going anywhere either, Scotty. So we put too much into this, and there's going to be an opportunity that we can actually create what it is that we have self-determined as being in our best interest from the overall disposition of the untied states of America. It is definitely going to take. And I want to say this real quick. Don't think it wasn't a coincidence that they named the corporation of the U.S. the United States, because they knew that later on in history they would become the untied states of America. They knew what they were doing. So, okay, everyone, never goodbye. As always, we'll see you later. Much love, much respect. Before you ask for a fortune, make sure to give one away. Great Creator willing, we'll see you all tomorrow. Peace.
Gold dinar would have had serious consequences for the world financial system, but may also have empowered the people of Africa, something black activists say the US wants to avoid at all costs.
We're slicing cake. We're slicing cake. We're slicing cake.
Say the U.S. wants to avoid at all costs.
We're slicing cake.
Say the U.S. wants to avoid at all costs.